Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday, Sunday night I'm free.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Smashing Sundays with me, Lucy Pinder.
And me, Beth Granville. Sunday. We are joined today by a very exciting guest. It is comedian, writer, actor and my current favourite person on Instagram and Twitter. It's Alistair Green.
Hello. I'll be more vocal later, but I always like to start very small.
Just warming up.
Yeah, right.
Alistair, you are genuinely my favourite discovery of 2018.
Right. Your Instagram videos and Twitter videos are an absolute joy.
Wow.
Honestly, I went on a binge watch of them and I sent them to so many people. So you've got probably about 6 extra followers thanks to that.
Thanks so much, yeah. I didn't notice it went up significantly.
There was a real spike. Yeah. Well, if I share something, there's a spike. I've got a good couple of hundred followers. But yeah, your characters are so beautifully observed. They're fantastic. How long have you been doing it? Because you're obviously new to me, but...
That sort of thing, not that long. It was just sort of mucking about on my phone. But other stuff, yeah, a good few years, yeah. But the Instagram stuff, I only recently joined Instagram.
How long have you been on the gram?
I don't know, 6 months, maybe longer? You say that and then you check in, it's like 7 years.
Yeah.
Do you ever look on that and you go to Twitter and then it says joined?
I know.
And it's something like 1958. And you go, no way, it's like last week. It's so scary.
Well, I set up an account and then I just didn't use it for years because I was like, I don't really know what this is. I found it quite hard to get to grips with. And same with Instagram.
And then before you know it, you're
addicted. It's like crack, isn't it? You're like, oh, I don't quite know how to use this. And then you're addicted.
But it's like when mobile phones come out and you know, and everyone went, I don't think you'll catch me with one of those. It's like 5 minutes later, can I have an iPhone X, please?
Yeah. I know, I had a BlackBerry for way longer than anyone should have. And I remember somebody asking me if I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I, in a bar, and I was like, no, why? And
they were
like,
because
nobody
said
has BlackBerry. Yeah. I know.
If I was one of those people who went, oh, I don't want the people knowing where I am. I don't think you'll be able to find me. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, no, I definitely want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a love.
Track
hate,
me to the toilet.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you never know how much you're addicted to your smartphone until you drop it down a toilet or lose it.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you go, oh, my life.
The very
over.
Fact that you're willing to put your hand in a toilet
to get it out. Risk getting hepsy.
In a club or whatever. I've done that. Pulled my phone out of the toilet. Oh God! Yeah. Your fear of not having your phone is far worse than.
I've just upgraded my phone, and I think it's probably the happiest I've been in about 7 years. It's incredible. I was using a 5C, an old iPhone, and I just upgraded 2 days ago, and I just can't believe it. The new.
What have you got now?
An iPhone X.
Oh, that's swish, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you very
much. Is it?
Yeah.
I thought you had a bit of a swagger to you when you came in. A bit of a spring in your step.
Yeah.
I thought the video quality was a bit better.
What phones have you got?
I think mine's a 7. I don't know.
A bit embarrassing. Not an X, but...
How did you keep a 5? Because I think that Apple make them break... Like, I haven't upgraded for about 3 years, and I'm sure my phone... now just keeps breaking, like it won't charge properly.
Yeah, well it's like any technology, it's got limited lifespan, I suppose. But have you paid off the device plan? I work for O2, by the way.
He said you had nothing to plug. I'm not sure about this.
I'll tell you what we can offer for you today.
if you take
a seat over there and I'm just run through a couple of deals you've got going on. Because you pay off the device plan, right? So your bill is comprised of your device plan and obviously your tariff.
No, my brain's switched off now, Al. So, oh, it's gone.
So your bill, there's no simpler way to say it, is half of it is you paying for the phone, and half of it is the
kind of thing,
right? So you're paying for the tariff, you get X amount of calls and texts and all that stuff.
No, we haven't mentioned that we've got editor extraordinaire Dave Charms in, and I've just made a noise and he's looked at me because I've knocked something on the table. Sorry, Dave Charms.
I know, because I was thinking when there was that extra laughter, I thought people were going to think Alistair's like laughing differently, like doing
I thought it was a bit down, this podcast. I thought, right, so I'll throw my voice over there.
I'm going to laugh at my own jokes.
It'd be like TFI Friday, just people laughing in the background.
Does Alistair say something and then laugh at his own joke? I used to live with someone who used to do that. She'd laugh wildly at her own jokes, and it was really disconcerting. Yeah. But yeah, that laughter is David Charms, our editor, who we talk about in the podcast, but today he's actually here in the flesh. It's very
such
exciting.
A treat.
God, that really killed the mood, didn't it?
Anyway, back to phone plans.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so you're paying your phone off each month.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Imagine I talked about this for an hour. So the worst thing is, in my head, I'm going, don't talk about this. But I actually do want to mention this, is that I'd paid off my 5C device plan. So I kept the phone, but consequently my bill was obviously reduced because I was just paying the tariff, which is like 13 quid a month or whatever. But then eventually the phone breaks, and that's sort of the end of that anecdote. Expected a bit more.
Because they always say to me, do you want a SIM-only kind of thing?
Right,
even when my contract ends.
Right.
And I'm like, no, absolutely not, because by the time my plan runs out, my
you
phone's
You are listening
fucked.
To Vodafone Radio, right?
Oh, my God, we just lost everything.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was, I don't know why I...
But anyway, the moral of the story is Al is very happy with his new phone.
Yeah, that's the upshot.
Thrilled with it.
I've got a new phone, yeah, I'm really pleased
with it. It's nice to go from a 5 because they are a bit small. Yeah.
And also the cameras now on the new
phone. Oh, they're incredible.
Yeah.
You can make even more videos.
Well, the worst thing was I did record something on the new phone and I thought, oh, it's showing up way too much like blemishes. And
like proper
HD.
I thought, no, this can't be right. No.
That's why they invented filters at the same time that those phones got so
good.
Yeah,
right.
Because they were like, we're going to scare the shit out of people when they see what they look like. So yeah, that's probably why they went, oh, let's give them dog ears to distract them.
There we go. Start doing all of your
Oh, imagine some of your ones with dog ears.
I've never worked out how to do that. That feature, give myself a little animal gesture.
It's on Instagram and Snapchat,
isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, so you just scroll along the bottom.
Oh, I'm missing a trick there, yeah. Mm.
But we were just talking, well, before we press record, about, because Beth is doing a social media hiatus.
Detox.
Right.
Bit of a detox. And you did this.
Yeah.
Digital minimalism.
For about a month, I think. Maybe a little bit longer. Yeah, last year, I think.
So Alice, so you've done it. I'm just starting it, so I've been off a couple of days now.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that with social media is no one's really still tapped into its influence, especially politically. You see it with, you know, Brexit and stuff like that, or Trump and the Facebook scandal and all that stuff. I still think no one's really addressed what we do now as a society in terms of elections and things like that, how you can monitor fake news or fake statistics, or you know what I mean, like particularly Twitter, people retweet things that they're simply not true. I don't know what can be done about that, other than I don't know, maybe we'll turn a corner and people will just be from now on so skeptical of anything they see on social media that they won't let it influence them.
You kind of hope that they would, but I think a lot of people just aren't. I think there are people that just will see something and believe everything they read. There was I went to, David Baddiel did like a work in progress called Trolls Not the Dolls.
Yeah.
And it was all kind of about internet trolls, and he was kind of saying about this thing that these people that are kind of, that we would call bots, but they're not really bots, they're people that are just paid to put out mad fake news. And it's kind of getting worse, and we're all meant to be a bit more aware of it.
Yeah,
it's still getting worse. Like, it's slightly terrifying. But then we were saying this, media have done that for years.
Right.
It's just a new way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of propaganda. But it is, it blows my mind. And we're all doomed. Okay, that's a happy Sunday.
Should we wrap up
there?
You're
real,
right, Dave.
Real happy. Yeah,
the news thing is stressful, and just, you see how gross people can be.
But I think, I think Twitter will go the way of Facebook, i.e. people just come off it eventually, or just don't use it, just because it becomes such a sort of toxic environment. But Twitter's definitely getting like that.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Not already
people
like
are joining Twitter.
Yeah.
We had some really... So Dave Charms, who's in the room, obviously, we were going to Calais quite a few years ago, and we... This was the first online abuse I'd kind of ever had. And there was not much press about it at the time, was there? So it was 2000 and... when was this?
There was not much press about you going to Calais.
Well, that is
what
part
is wrong
of
with the mainstream
about,
media.
No, about Calais. Nobody really knew what was 2014. So this is quite a few years ago.
Okay.
And we were going back and forth and taking things, and lots of the people there were sort of more like anarchists, weren't they? Who were helping, but there was just nothing. I was speaking to Owen Jones about it, and he was like, "Well, what's going on in Calais?" Even he didn't really know what was going on. Anyway, I was saying to Dave, "We need this to be in the news. This is insane. There's like." What was there, 2,000 people there at the time?
Yeah.
Just living in squats and jungles, and it was horrendous, and we were going back and forth and taking things, and Dave was teaching English, and yeah, we were doing various things over there. So what we decided to do was, my gran phoned me. She was like, "Oh, are you going back, when you go to Calais on New Year, have you booked your ferry yet?" And I was like, "No." And she said, "Oh, the Daily Mail are doing a deal for £1 ferries." And I was like, "I can't go to Calais on the Daily Mail." I was like, "Ooh, or can I?" Yeah. So I was like, "Dave, let's book." And it was a free bottle of wine as well. So you got a free bottle of wine.
Right, win-win.
And you saved
some
exactly. Yeah. So then we wrote. So I was like, "Oh, let's write to them and tell them we've used your £1 deal to go. And thanks so much for putting it on. Like, a load of other activists have gone over, and we're going over to work with refugees. We spent the money we saved on food for people and stuff." So we like took a picture of us and wrote to them, and it literally went viral, didn't it? Like, and every newspaper picked it up apart from the Daily Mail. Anyway, it was great. We achieved what we wanted to achieve from that, and some of the abuse for just going and helping refugees. Right. And I just thought, oh, people are so scary and disgusting. Yeah. What was it that one Dave got? That someone wrote to you saying, "I hope your wife, sister and mother get raped by refugees."
Wow.
And Dave went, "Joke's on them, I haven't got a wife." So, it was just some of the abuse we were getting was really frightening. And I thought, and it didn't affect me as much as I thought it might.
Yeah,
because I just thought you're vile. Mm.
But this is the thing, it's what we were talking about this, was that yesterday over Sunday lunch, and kind of saying, everyone can access social media, and it does make you realise how many possibly unstable and unsavoury people are out there and love giving abuse to people online. But you just kind of have to, I mean, I know for some of it's very serious, but you just have to kind of think, oh, really, that's your life.
I was thinking that, you know, the other day when those school kids were protesting about climate change.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a ton of people going, "Oh, yeah, well, what about when your mum and dad drop you off at school?" How is that?
How
could anyone look at that and say, think of something bad? Like, it's staggering.
Yeah.
Like giving doing something good, or giving a homeless person some changes. Oh, you do good.
Oh, there's always going to be something. You just think of their mindset, and you just kind of go, oh, whatever, love.
But what is that about? Why do I think it's something to do with, like, Twitter is just a load of chat, and it's like, how can I join in and get people to notice me? And an obvious way is to just be a prick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and you'll at least attract, like, a Katie Hopkins or someone, go, "Yeah, good, well done."
Yeah.
It's just a way to be validated, and you'll do anything to be validated.
Just to be heard.
Yeah. Just upgrade your phone, guys. That's all I'm saying.
The joy of upgrading your smartphone.
Upgrade your phone. There'll be no racism. What's the problem? I have a dream.
Well, actually, weirdly, though, it's not so much, because I think I mute a lot of people as well.
Button changed my life.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Mm. Didn't even know there was one.
Oh, it's great, muting people.
Went on
so
a
it's
muting
not so much
spree.
Gross
okay,
people.
What's the difference between mute and block?
Well, they can't see that you've muted them. So if you block someone, I think they know that you've blocked them.
Oh, God, yeah, they would
100%
know.
And they can't look at your posts.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if you mute someone, they think that you're still looking at their stuff. Yeah.
It's great, because you sort of, you feel obliged to follow somebody back because they might be a friend of a friend, or, you know, you just, and then you just don't want to see their posts.
So I could have just muted you then.
Yeah, exactly. We still would have been able to slide into your DMs.
Yeah.
But Al, when are you coming on? Sorry, who are you?
But yeah, the reason for my detox isn't about gross people, really. It's about I'm just on it too much. I'm just on it all the time, and I feel like it's really sucking my time.
Yeah,
And I'll just sort of lie in bed just scrolling away.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no dead time anymore. There's no. Like, if you're in a pub and your mate goes to the toilet, it's just the first thing, isn't it? For what? There's no time to just sit and...
I wrote a sketch actually a couple of years ago, which was my mind going to that very place, which was just thinking about you're in a bar with one person and they go to the bar or go to the toilet,
yeah,
and you straight away. So I chuckled to myself thinking about, like, what did you used to do? Like, can you imagine going, well, it's just going to be me and them tonight, I'm going to need something to do, I'll take a photo album, you know, because you go through your photos on your phone, wouldn't you? So, like, sat there looking through a photo album while they're at the bar or answering some letters or, you know, like, it's so
A mate of mine said recently, he got his wife to change all his passwords on his social media so that he couldn't use it.
Wow.
And he said to me, one of the best things was being bored. So he could be bored again. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know. So in that dead time, he had nothing. He's on a train. He's got to read a book or listen to music or just be bored or stare out the window. There's no time now for just daydreaming or it's like I've got to fill myself up with something.
Well, there are apps and stuff, aren't there, that you can... But then I guess you can just come off the app. There are apps that you can set yourself so you're only allowed a certain amount of time.
Right.
Yeah, on social media,
It's also become, though, that, like, the mindfulness industry, for want of a better term, has caught on to that idea of that people have had enough, you know, people want some time to themselves. But that has become a thing or an activity or a way of filling time is mindfulness or whatever you want to call that, Headspace app and stuff like that. Not to be, I think they're good ideas.
Yeah.
But I think there's a bit of it that's like, I don't know, it feels like another filling a gap with another thing rather than it's
like
still doing
hijacking.
A thing.
Yeah.
That might be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I used that app for a while, that Headspace app. You know this, you know what I'm talking about?
I've downloaded like two.
Right.
I got on here and I've just never got round to using them.
Right, right. I think
it's like scrolling through Instagram.
They see me scrolling.
Too busy abusing people on Twitter. I'll get to my mindfulness once I've called this bag a prick.
But yeah, it's but this is such a, like, this, it's like we were saying, it's such a Sunday thing as well. Like if you happen to wake up quite hungover on a Sunday, and the first thing you do, well, the first thing I do is scroll through Instagram, which probably isn't the most productive thing to do on a Sunday morning.
I did, when I came off it all, it was much better to wake up and not have that as the first thing. Do you know what I mean? It's next to your bed. And like,
yeah.
It's, I went for a period of keeping it in the other room, actually, just because...
That's good.
That's
when
a
you
great
wake up,
idea.
You got an alarm clock.
Yeah, I bought a different alarm clock. It's quite an annoying alarm clock, actually. It's like a really depressing tone to it. Like, you can't change. It's one of those ones that slowly lights up to mimic daylight. Do you know these things?
Yeah.
So the first thing you're aware of is a light starting to bring you back to consciousness. But then the alarm is like, honestly, it's like... Da, na, 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 na. It's so dark.
I'm waking up in a horror film.
Just wake up and start crying immediately. Yeah.
That's such a horror, a lovely, like, light, and
then
a horrible...
Yeah, then it ruins it,
Oh, no, I've got a lovely alarm, haven't I? It sounds like I'm in a spa.
Yeah.
My alarm clock's real
nice.
Has
it got a light thing on it?
No, it's on my phone.
Okay, right, right.
So that defeats not having my phone in the room.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're talking about I think the last time I had an alarm clock that wasn't a phone, this is how long I've had a mobile phone, I had a Bart Simpson alarm clock.
Oh, my God.
When I was, like, 15, it used to go, hey, man, get up and get out of bed.
Eat my shorts.
I should dig that out.
You should. I'll have it while I'm not looking at my phone so much. Yeah, I'm reading more before bed now.
Yeah.
And I read my book yesterday morning. It's so much nicer. Because it's like when you wake up... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like... It's a positive thing to do for my mental health.
Yeah,
it's to just not be looking
it's
at
like
what other people are doing all the time.
Everything in moderation, isn't it?
Exactly. So I need to come back
drinking.
To it after
30
days. Yeah, I've replaced it with booze. Now I get up in the morning and I have a drink. And I feel great.
Finally, we're addressing this issue.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, what's worse for your mental health?
I've given up my phone and taken up crack.
Yeah.
I just feel so much better.
Just a different kind of crack. You know, the original crack, before phones were crack.
Yeah.
And
anyone remember
used
old
proper
crack?
Proper crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a new Peter Kay routine. Anyone remember crack?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh. So, social media aside, Alistair, what do you get up to on a Sunday?
I just find them quite depressing. I think it's, I don't know, it's something to do with, like, it's the end of a it's a, something like, it's a sort of judgment day. Mm. Like, what have you done this week?
Yeah.
That's my, that's what my alarm clock should say. What have you done this week? You useless sack of shit. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and I could never be one of those people who go, well, tomorrow's Monday, start of a new week. Well, let's see what it's going to bring. It's always like, Jesus, tomorrow's Monday. What the fuck's going to happen? Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
what?
That Monday anxiety. Yeah. That Sunday night Monday anxiety.
It kicks in like that 3-4 o'clock on a Sunday. It's like dead time. You've had your lunch, if whatever you're doing, and then what? You can't really go out. You can go out, but what's the point?
What's the point in
it? It's a funny one, because Sunday mornings are lovely, and I think everybody kind of acknowledges that. You're still sort of in the weekend. But Sunday evening very much isn't. And as a kid, you know, obviously some people love school. I didn't. I quite like primary, but not secondary. And you just have that thing of like, you'd hear the Antiques Roadshow music and go, oh, God, like freak out.
So big. I always think of mud. I don't know why. I've always grown up in cities, but like, Sunday just reminds me of like 3-4 o'clock, it's getting dark, and there's just mud or something, you know what I mean? Something horrible. I just can't put my finger on it.
So what do you do? How do you distract yourself from from the depression of a Sunday evening? That's why we started doing cool things. Right. This is where Smashing Sundays comes from, is because
Sunday morning is good. You wake up and go, brilliant, especially if you've got a thing to do.
Yeah.
You go, great, I'm going to go to the flower market, I'll do whatever, I'll do this and that. It's great. But even then, at the back of your mind, it's like, 4 o'clock's coming. It's like the last week of the 6 weeks holiday when you're a kid.
Yes.
You're still awake, but it's like, oh,
that's
God.
Exactly what it's like.
It's like something.
A lovely analogy.
Something's coming. Something's coming over the horizon.
Well, this is why we kind of, because we were both in really long-term relationships, and I think when you're single, when you've been a couple for a long time, then you suddenly go, oh, God, what am I going to do on a Sunday? Like, everyone's out being couple-y and
it's
family.
A couple-y day.
Yeah.
I do normally do something, actually. I do normally go somewhere, usually on my own, 9 times out of 10, and do something. Or just go for a walk.
Yeah,
or,
I think
especially
you
a nice day
to.
Like yesterday, it was really nice. So it's good to sort of.
But then I did yesterday and got all watery-eyed over French bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, some Sundays you're just like, oh, okay, today I'm not in a great mood, so it's because it's Sunday and I just have to ride it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's very English as well, Sundays.
So
something
English.
Very like, it's very British. Sort of Hancock's half hour, or just looking out a window and it's raining and there's rooftops and you just go, strength, you know, give me strength. Just like muttering to yourself or like sighing a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh. It's really existential
it's such a weird, it's such a weird day because it can literally, if you have something great to do, it can be like the best day of the week, but it can very easily be the absolute worst and you're just wishing it away. You're like, oh, sod it, like bring on Monday because this is depressing.
Yeah, and I think it's about what we did was decided to make it a good day where we did things together, and I became conscious of making sure I had company on a Sunday. I'd plan things because I did used to just find it a bit sad and you'd feel a bit low, and it's you're right, it is very English. Well, British, I'm Welsh, so like I kind of think it's probably the same as England, but all the shops closing, and I was brought up a Catholic. I'm not a Catholic now, I'm a recovering Catholic. But it would always be the church. I bloody loved church. Like, I don't think I really believed in it, but I used to love showing off and doing a reading or doing the offertory, taking the communion up. I was like, this is my time to shine. So I loved church and Sunday dinner and everything.
But that shop shutting thing. But what the thing that gets me about that is
that's
like
a religious thing,
people
isn't it?
Go, yeah, and people go, wow, it's great. We live in 24-hour culture now. It's a London, you know, one of the biggest cosmopolitan cities in the world. And then Sunday, you go, all right, it's 1851.
Yeah,
and everything shuts at like.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No, what's that?
I know.
It's like 4 o'clock. Every
but that said, you ever go in like some of those shops? You can stay open under certain licensing laws, you know, really late, can't you? But like Tesco Metro, you can.
Yeah.
But then you ever go into Tesco Metro at like 8 p.m. on a Sunday? Fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get some real, excuse me, that's like really bleak people in there, like me.
We're all just milling around looking depressed.
Yes. I was just thinking, oh, that's a nice thing to do. I hadn't thought to do that on a Sunday evening. Go and pick up. Go and try and get a date down Tesco Metro. Where are all the single men? Yeah. They're in Tesco Metro, aren't they, on a Sunday night?
It's really, people buying
o'clock.
Really bleak things, like a single chocolate mousse or something like that.
Yeah.
Just go home and watch The Voice with this.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because Sundays can be quite bleak, the whole idea with like the Smashing Sundays podcast is that me and Beth both kind of, from being in long-term relationships and finding it just a bit odd being on your own on a Sunday, and or not even being on your own, but just not maybe being used to going, okay, I need to come up with something to do on a Sunday, because otherwise I'm just sat in kind of dwelling over things. And that's where we kind of came up with, right, well, we'll book something in to do, like farmers markets or going to museums or whatever. Al, you were saying that you kind of like to have something booked in, so right, what would you...
So I'll go to a different part of London somewhere. So I'll pick a place, like, we're going to Chelsea a lot, weirdly. Just because it's not very far from... I can go
Made
there quite
Chelsea.
Easily. Yeah, right. The weird thing is, when you walk around Chelsea, you actually see those people
yeah.
from the show. Just you go, oh, right, they're real people. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I get
I'd love
sort
to
of...
see you lurking in the background of yeah. Made in
an
Chelsea.
An episode of Made yeah. in Chelsea.
Should we try and no, do... I'm going to be one of them.
Should we try and do that? Should we make that an aim, that one yeah. of whoever of the three of us can get yeah. in the background of Made in Chelsea first?
Oh, but, well,
something.
You're nearer to Towie. You could do... Towie round that way. If you're
yes.
in London,
we're so near Towie.
Not
is
too
Towie
far
still on?
Now and again. Well, yeah.
It's still running,
yeah. Just not at the moment, but the format hasn't ended.
Oh, I know, because the gym I go to that is in Essex, I spot a few Towie
right,
people in.
Right, yeah.
But you're rubbing shoulders with the MIC.
Yeah,
lot.
It's very different crowds, yeah.
You should come and do the Towie one with us then. So we'll come down to Chelsea. We'll do a
okay.
Chelsea one with
okay.
a Sunday with you.
Yeah.
And how about you come over to us and
all
we'll
right.
we'll do an Essex
okay.
Sunday.
Go down okay.
Chigwell, yeah.
We could have a nice network of us all over London, couldn't we, that do
Smashing
Sundays.
We could have
Smashing
Sundays meetups.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But that's what I do anyway. Go to a place and then... I mean, I'm a very tedious person, so I spend a lot of time looking for, like, blue plaques, things like that, and then I'll Google that, or it's just a nice place to find a place to walk around and really, particularly in London, because there's a lot of history and a lot of weird little side streets, and it's I like getting to know a place geographically or find your bearings so that when you come back the next time you know
yeah.
roughly where things are, as sort of boring as that sounds. Walthamstow, I did Walthamstow recently as well, actually, which is amazing because you can go to the same place 6 months apart and it will be so radically different. Because my nan used to take me to Walthamstow Market as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're from London then?
Yeah, from Romford,
okay.
which is Essex.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll be very clear about telling you that. Yeah. Although technically it is London, but they'll go, nah, Essex, mate. So yeah, but my nan lived near there, yeah. But obviously now it's a completely different kind of place. But yeah, so that's what I do to fill the day anyway. Find a place and sort of go sort of exploring.
Oh, I love that idea.
It's a good thing to do. And then just, you know, I do it on my own though, because I think it's really bad. But I think, well, if someone was with me, they'd want to go that way. I don't want to go that way. Help me. The other thing is you go, well, where does the day end? Where how do you go? So if you go to like see an exhibition or something like that, I might want to go home after that. What happens if your friend goes, oh, we should go for a drink? Do you just go, oh, I don't really want to? It just becomes awkward. So it's better to just live alone until you die.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's the two-sided thing of like of being on your own and not having to worry about something. It's the joy of being able to do that and just go, well, I can just bugger off and do whatever I want
yeah.
today.
Oh,
like, that's a
yeah.
lovely thing.
Yeah. And I did have a really nice one yesterday. I did meet a friend yesterday and we went to Tracy Emin exhibition at White Cube in Bermondsey.
I'm desperate to
that's
go
really
to this.
Good. And then went to Jose, if you know that little Spanish play. This
no.
sounds like the most like liberal metro. Guys, do you know a lovely little tapas? A lovely little tapas place. Just people listening going, listen to that Ramona. it's just a very nice Spanish tapas place
Ooh.
On Bermondsey Street. Yeah, and had that and a bottle of wine. You know that, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dave.
And
nodding
that was
his
you.
Head. The liberal metropolitan elite yeah. in the
sherry
background.
A sherry joint.
Yeah. It is. They
a
do sherry. They
joint.
Do sherry.
Oh
and
God.
I had some lovely... What I didn't realise, well, I just ordered something in Spanish off the menu, and what I didn't realise it was onions. it was a massive long plate of spring onions. So I just had to eat them.
Oh, I hate
to be happy
that.
About that. Yeah.
I ordered I had a real shocker tapas-wise last time I was in Spain, because I speak a little bit of Spanish, so generally I could, but there was one thing I couldn't work out, and oh my God, they arrived and they were worms from the sea.
What?
They were silver worms.
These worms? Do you know what? I'm in favour of Brexit
them.
Now.
Yeah. It was just one of those, you know, I was like, oh, I'll have a tortilla and patatas bravas and, you know, just ordered a few things that I knew, like what they, and then that went. I was like, oh, I'll have a wild card.
Yeah.
And we just sat there just staring at them.
But it's a weird one though, isn't it? Because you go,
onions,
you go
better than that.
Mussels, yep. Cockles, yeah, maybe. And then you go, snails, nope.
You go through
the sea creatures and go, no. I like these ones, but don't go weird. Worms. Worms is beneath snails.
It's above frogs' legs. Yeah.
It's sort of in the middle.
But it is, it's funny, the way people kind of...
Yeah.
It's like with offal, like meat eaters.
Yeah, it's like...
The offal's disgusting. Right. And I'm like, but you're still eating its flesh.
Oh,
so.
You'd eat a horse...
Yeah, it's like, well, you're eating cows, love, and pigs, so... Mm. But it's so mad, isn't it? The way people kind of rationalise what we're used to and we're indoctrinated to...
Right. You're brought up that way, I suppose, to compartmentalise certain animals as food and some as pets.
Yeah, it's madness.
Yeah.
I won't get on a vegetarian rant because I'm not a vegan and they'll have a go at me for not being a vegan. So, yeah, you go ahead, eat your meat. That sounds like a lovely Sunday.
That was a really... And in fact, it's one of the few sort of productive... Sunday's out, because in the morning I went over a place called Ladywell Fields near where I live. Dave nodding his head again. Dave's nodding his head at every sort of liberal gesture I make here. we'd play football with my mate's kids. My mates weren't there. They thought it was a bit weird, if I'm honest. Anyway, we're just putting our shoes on. I went, no, don't worry about it. I don't really like it.
God, like that Netflix documentary we just watched that everyone was talking about.
What's it called?
Oh my God.
Abducted in plain sight.
Is it weird?
Oh, we were screaming at the television.
Why?
Everybody was going on about it.
We can't even give it away. Just watch it.
Yeah.
And as it unravels, you're just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, those parents.
And it all started with someone playing football with someone else's kids, basically. No,
right. Oh, it's about me.
Yeah.
Mention that at the beginning, girls. Don't throw that in at the end.
But Abducted in Plain Sight, wow.
Oh, okay. Netflix really, like, have nailed that sort of mad documentary format. Do you know what I mean? Documentaries used to be quite stale, macabre, kind of like... The ones that are mad, like The Staircase or something insane. You know?
Yeah. I couldn't wait for the Ted Bundy one. Loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's classic Sunday viewing.
Yeah, it is.
We did watch that on a Sunday.
Lovely little 10-part documentary about a serial killer.
Yeah.
What did you do? I ate some onions in Spanish. Just went home and watched a bit of death.
We actually did that, though. I think we were both having a bit of a downer on a Sunday, and we were like, oh, what better way to cheer ourselves up than watching a Ted Bundy documentary.
I watched that, yeah. I had a conversation with someone about, you don't get serial killers like that anymore. And my mate said to me, presumably the reason is that detection levels are just...
It's just much easier
to catch them now. But then you watch that Ted Bundy one, and there's a real sort of issue about, he was caught... How did he get away, like, so many times?
Jumping out the bloody window.
Right.
I mean, it's
mad. But it's also about, I suppose, social values then. It was, wasn't it? Like, people didn't believe women as much, or, you know... It was a sort of deep sort of sexism.
Well, it was really quite frightening, the fact that, I think when it's women
that's
being...
That's very shocking about
young women being murdered. It's like, if someone was taking out politicians, they'd have everyone on it. You know, it's like, oh, okay, because it's young women. Mm. And because they kept going on about how good looking it is. It's like they don't want to find a normal, white...
Middle class man, yeah.
Right.
Guilty of anything. Mm. And I just feel like that's why it took so long for anything to happen, because they were like, oh, but he doesn't fit a picture of what a serial killer is.
But that's what's so disturbing about those ones, is when they've even caught them, and then they still...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is dark, isn't it?
Well, I think because as well, that... I'm just carrying on with it. I heard your subtle implication we should move on, but I'm sticking with it. But it's probably because as well, it's men in those positions of power, like the police force and what have you, that it's one of their own, so to speak, or one, you know, someone from their race, their gender,
that they affiliate with. Yeah, right.
So they didn't want him to fit.
Yeah. It almost implicates them in some way.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's gross, but it is fascinating.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hence why Netflix are churning them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God for Netflix on a lonely Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton on Netflix, I noticed the other day, of films, and this is a new genre, films where people are trapped in shark cages. There's hundreds on Netflix. Yeah, it's called like Cage, Shark Cage, 45 metres deep, The Shark, Shark.
I'm obsessed with sharks. I haven't found any of these.
Okay, there's tons on them.
It might put me off wanting to go shark diving.
Yeah, it would, yeah. But I think it's probably because it says, because you watched Shark Cage 3, you might be interested in Shark Attack 17. Yeah, yep, definitely.
You should try and watch all of them.
Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
You're like, I'm doing them twice.
Yeah. Some of them are so bad, like there's CGI'd sharks. It's not even a CGI, it's just a guy in a shark thing.
But don't you think this is what, like, the joy of Jaws, even though everyone kind of takes the piss out of the big fake shark, it was kind of more believable because they showed like flashes of it than now when you watch like a modern film that's got a CGI shark in it.
Yeah.
Like Sharknado 5.
Do you think people were like, which people Lucy was already in? Paranoid about? Were you in Sharknado?
I was in Sharknado 5.
She's been desperate to plug it since we've been doing this podcast.
Four episodes in, finally, we've mentioned Beth's alcoholism and Lucy's Sharknado career. We can wind it up now, guys.
My finest hour.
So, what's the plot of Sharknado 5?
Oh,
I've seen half of one of them once.
Sharknado 5 is where...
Have you seen the first four?
I don't know. I've never seen any of them. That's bad, isn't it? Basically, all I could... The gist of it was that there are, like, tornadoes that have swept the sharks up into the air, so now there are basically flying sharks.
That's
around
hilarious.
The
is it? I've never seen any of it. Okay. I didn't...
Yeah,
I sort of absolutely thought it was a joke film. I thought the title was just a joke film. I didn't realise they were films for ages.
They're quite tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
They're not expecting any Oscars.
I had some fun the other day coming up with a joke. Had you finished about Sharknado? Sorry.
I absolutely finished about Sharknado.
Oh, I've got a few things to say about
I amused myself for ages coming up with joke celebrity TV show ideas.
These are genius.
And I'd like you to tweet us your favourite TV show be out of the following, right?
If you've got any others.
Or if you've got any others.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go in and try and pitch them. I reckon ITV2 would go for these. So
maybe ITVB.
Yeah, ITVB.
The preferred station.
Yeah.
There's nothing but
what's
quality.
What's your favourite channel? Yeah. I think ITVB.
Yeah. So anyone with spin-off characters from TOWIE have a baby.
Yeah.
What's those ones? Or Peter Andre gets a dog or something like that. How many episodes do you reckon we get? 28.
Yeah.
Easily. 7 series.
Yeah, that's genius.
I reckon they'd take that.
Yeah. I've just realised I might pitch that. Yeah.
What would you call it? So my favourite bit is coming up with the names. So mine are Beal or No Beal, and that is Noel Edmonds goes through old back catalogue episodes of EastEnders and decides whether ones with Ian Beal or without Ian Beal are the best ones.
Okay. And how do you, is the banker involved? Do you phone him?
Don't know, I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
Oh, sorry, I was taking it way
too seriously. Maybe you should phone the banker. Or he phones the banker to get the episodes.
Yeah.
And then he tells him which one to watch. I don't know. ITVB can work that bit out. But we've got Crystal Meze, which is where Richard O'Brien goes around London exploring the popular Turkish dining experience. And rates the Turkish restaurants.
Great.
on a really tight time frame. So he'll go in to the Turkish restaurant and he has to like dip something in the hummus and he has and he'll, again, that's for ITVB to work out.
What's the third one?
Oh, I've got Give It Away Now. Anthony Kiedis goes to the homes of hoarders and persuades them to give their stuff away and sell it at car boot sales. My Sylvanian Family, Robert Lindsay. Robert Lindsay visits antique toy fairs.
I can see all of these being made.
Yeah.
Oh, the other one, Heart Attack. Neil Buchanan explores cardiovascular disorder. I mean, I think I've got more, but I'll leave it there for now.
What's your favourite, Alistair, out of
I think I like the Meze.
Crystal Meze.
Such a winner.
Yeah.
Imagine that on a Sunday afternoon.
Right, quite dramatic.
That'd be great,
okay,
wouldn't it?
The music. dead end. Do you eat the food? You're judging it, or you eat the food?
Yeah, what's I don't know. Well, this, we can work this out together. But
right.
Yeah,
we've got the title. Writes itself, doesn't it? Yeah. Just at the end of the meal, so there's a silver foil.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to grab it. Yeah, like bits of flatbread just coming out of it. Yeah, I don't know. I think it should be on a time frame, so we should just get on quite a tight time frame.
So what do you have to do with a time frame? Eat the food?
Yeah, so you judge the ambience.
Okay.
So you really quickly go in, make a snap.
Snap judgment.
Malcolm Gladwell style blink theory, bang, what's the ambience?
Yeah.
Rate that. Try a bit of hummus and like maybe a bit of baba ganoush or whatever. Yeah. Then you order your main, you eat. You have some you have a bit of chat with the staff.
Yeah.
Are you having to do this along a like rope ladder or something?
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Yeah. That's really nice.
Is there your other teammates outside the door knocking on it, going, "Get out,
yeah,
get
yeah,
out,
yeah, yeah.
Time's up," and you've got like half a kebab in your mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah. No need to swear, Steve.
No need to swear, Steve.
I haven't judged the gherkins yet.
No time.
But this leads us very nicely onto our quick fire Sunday questions.
Oh God.
So we'll do what is
I didn't know this was coming.
It's looking horrified.
I wish I could find that little jingle again. That spooky jingle.
I hate that spooky jingle.
Do you want that as a jingle? Me going, oh God.
Yes, please.
Just various points.
Just use it. Just drop that in every time I say something dark.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh God.
I was happier talking about Ted Bundy. This is just, even if it's much more anxious.
So we've got some Sunday themed questions for you, Alistair.
Okay.
I could absolutely go rogue and ask what's your favourite thing to watch on a Sunday first.
I always watch on a Sunday. Actually, I do put on the television. It's probably not a good way to start. I'll watch like the Andrew Marr show straight away. I don't know why.
Hashtag Marr.
Yeah, right.
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just have that on in the background maybe while I'm doing something else. Yeah. I did go for a period of watching all the politics shows on
Same.
Sunday, but it's like 4 hours of TV.
Yeah, it's quite like, stressful,
and
isn't it?
And it also repeats. It's the same guests on, and you go, What am I getting out of this, really?
Yeah, it's just the same thing over and over again, isn't it?
Stressful, shouting at the telly.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I try and... I think it's on Sundays, I think it's better to leave the house if you can.
Get out.
Yeah. I said that with real emphasis. Like, get out.
Get out
of my house.
That was so Romford the way you said that.
Yeah.
I loved it.
But the weird thing is I say it to myself. I wake up and go, get out. Yeah. Look, brushing my teeth. Get out of my house. Get out of my pub.
So once you've told yourself to get out, what would be your perfect track to listen to on a Sunday? It's a good Sunday song.
I don't know. I think whatever I happened to have been listening to, I subscribe to Apple Music now, which is a new thing for me. So I still work through bands sort of chronologically. Do you know what I mean? Like if I discover a new bit of music, I go, I wonder what the early stuff was like. Like it's still a bit nerdy, like the way you used to buy CDs.
Yeah.
You know? But now it's like I find myself working through it much quicker. Mm. And music is a weird thing now. I go, because obviously you've got finite space on your phone. You're like, maybe I'll delete that album now.
Yeah.
And then you go, have I really exhausted that album? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you listen to a song and go, all right, I'll just probably never listen to that again. It's sort of existential Apple Music because you go, well, I'll delete it now and never... I don't own that, it.
Does it take up space? I've got Spotify.
Spotify doesn't, but Apple...
Oh, really?
I think that's why I didn't have...
What?
Yeah, I think that's why I went Spotify.
Oh, right, but...
Or maybe it takes...
You've just got everything anytime, and then I've got my favourite things downloaded, and then...
Right, that's what I mean. But if you're out and you're not connected to Wi-Fi...
Oh, yeah, so anything you've downloaded will be taking up space.
But it must take up space if it's downloaded. Right, but with Apple,
scrap
you can...
me saying absolutely doesn't take up any space.
I'm quite adamant on technology points in this podcast, aren't I? You know nothing about phones. You know nothing about Apple Music. These are my passions. I sound so boring.
But it is mad that when we were younger and you used to buy us, if you liked one single, you'd buy the whole CD and you'd work through the CD. Whereas now, like, you'll just buy a single and maybe not check their album out.
Yeah.
And it's so different the way that we consume music now.
Yeah.
And albums are being made differently because of it, aren't they? Because you'd make an album as a piece.
Yeah.
Whereas now, apparently, people aren't really making albums like that as much anymore just because of the way we're consuming.
No one's bloody listening to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more about the singles.
Do you have a track at the moment, or?
I've just got a lot of different things on my phone at the moment. I've forgotten. I was listening to a bit of XTC, which is like
XTC.
Right, sort of 70s, early 80s sort of post-punk thing. And then I was listening to, because I was trying to do this impression of John Lydon, so I started listening to old Public Image Limited songs when he's got that sort of whining voice like that. So, what you know, whatever's I'm thinking about, I guess.
We're putting together a Smashing Sundays Spotify playlist, so we'd like to add a song on for you for each guest.
Right, okay. Oh, this is quite... You want me to do that now, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I mean, say it at the end if you want, or you can message us and we'll still put it on.
Okay.
We'll
let people
have a think about it. Well, I couldn't give one.
Well, if you put on your radio on a Sunday morning, what would be a song that you would like to hear?
Right. Sometimes I do, and I never listen to jazz, but sometimes I put something like
on
that
on a Sunday morning.
I don't know why, yeah. Yeah,
just
do you know
to
what
ease
I mean?
Or, you into
like you've woken yeah. up in Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I'm not still
really
in Ronnie Scott's
this,
tonight.
I'll play
last
it.
Night.
Yeah.
Oh God, I fell asleep in the club again.
I don't know. I suppose Sunday's sort of like something soulful. I suppose I don't know.
Soulful's a nice
or like
show.
Motown or something.
Oh, a bit of Motown on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good choice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a good choice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So what I like to put on, guys, a CD. I just like to sit
I'll take
back.
Your track question and raise yeah. your genre. Yeah. I listen to all of Motown, honestly.
Yeah.
God, I'm not going to fit any of these walks in now. I got Motown to listen to.
I've got to go to Chelsea. This is ridiculous. It's at 9 p.m.
Oh, brilliant.
And just to finish off, what's your perfect Sunday?
Just sitting in a corner, crying, and thinking about killing... No. going for a walk somewhere I haven't been,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
I think.
Discovering.
Yeah.
Really
and
nice.
Meeting up with a friend who goes. Really my friend who knows the right time to go home.
Doesn't hang around.
Who doesn't turn up with an...
Doesn't hang around, doesn't ever text me, and ideally doesn't want to be my friend after the day.
Next time I see you, I'm so turning up with an overnight bag just to scare you. And have a toothbrush poking out the top of my bag. Little sleep mask hooked over it.
Yeah, 28 Motown records.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole back
I'm in for the weekend.
Of We need, before we let you go, before we release you into the wild, we need your Tudor prosy name.
What's that?
Beth will explain.
Okay.
It's a real loose link with Sundays.
It's a real loose link. We just love this. We've come up with a new formula, like porn name kind of thing, but when we're delighted with it.
Yeah.
So my uncle had a bit of time off work and he did our family history.
I love that you do this bit on every podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it carries on.
Sorry,
like
yeah.
It.
Anyway, our name used to be Glanville.
De Glanville.
De Glanville.
How fancy.
Yeah. And when was that then? How far back is that?
So that was 1180.
Wow.
So he's my 25 times great grandfather or something.
So it's like a Norman.
So,
name
and he was the Earl of Suffolk and married the Baroness of Parnham, Bertha. Well, she didn't have a second name because she was a woman. She was just the son of somebody.
Yeah.
So we went from Earl of Suffolk to like coal miners in South Wales. Like, who lost
who
all our
really
money?
Who really fucked up?
Someone fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lucy was saying, oh, you need to go back to De Glanville because that's just brilliant.
I love it.
So,
yeah, it's great.
We were talking
about. But what did happen then? Do you know?
No, I genuinely don't know. And actually, I've been approached since putting that on my Instagram by a producer going, do you want to do a podcast where you find out, where you go back and find out where you lost the D?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I'd like to my uncle because he's very funny.
I'd love to be on Who Do You Think You Are.
So I'm a bit
but would you be scared they'd find out something though on that
program? that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I'd be hoping for something real dark.
Yeah, like your mum's a Nazi or something.
Yeah, Nazi sympathiser.
Yeah, it's like you bring it, it's so close. And you're, oh, my brother's a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah,
right up to the present day. I was expecting in something like the 1200s, wasn't
it? Oh my God, that's such a funny idea. Yeah. I love that.
Your cousin killed a dog. What?
Yeah. Yeah, so we were just saying adding a D to the beginning of your surname does.
Right.
So we were saying what would your, you know, sort of medieval or, you know, Tudor kind of prostitute name be? So you take your first.
Well, actually, a good prostitute name is ironically, Crystal Messe.
Oh, yeah. Yes, crystal
messy. Crystal messy.
So yeah, you, the first name is the name of your favourite literary character, and then you add a D to your surname.
Unless your surname is Pinder, and D, Dipinder didn't work, so I was Bathsheba von Pinder.
Von is good.
So you put von, it can have a von Green or a De Green.
Okay, I think I like Von.
Yeah, Von Green.
It's like a, it's sort of a villain, isn't it?
Yeah,
sort
it is. It's villainous.
Why is that?
What's that about?
Von.
Because it starts with a V.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what's the, like, the precedent for that? There must be a literary or sort of film precedent where there's been.
Are any of like.
What about the Von Trapps? The Von Trapps.
That's racism, I think.
Yeah.
Is it?
Thanks, H. Charles.
Yeah.
I love
the Von Trapps are sort of nice.
Also, Von Bismarck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah.
Right. Right.
I'll shock you again.
Yeah. We're just anyway, absolute shock in the room.
No, but what I like is like utter silence from Dave. And all of a sudden, I think you find it's Otto von Bismarck.
I think you'll find you're a bunch of racists.
I believe my contribution is done.
Mic drop. Don't drop the mic. So what?
I don't know. My favourite literary character. I don't know. That's good. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, great answer.
I don't know Von Green.
Yeah, great. We'll go with that.
Okay. What about, what's the guy, Moby Dick? Ishmael. Call me Ishmael. Ishmael von Green.
Lush. Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's really fun.
I like that.
That's fun.
Fab.
That's beautiful. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to say, actually, as well. Your, from your videos, because we love them so much, haven't we started? You've created a couple of catchphrases.
Oh,
yeah.
Catchphrases.
What, which ones have you got?
Darling, I will be heard.
Yeah, it's so horrible.
That I love.
Yeah.
Oh, you. As I was talking to my mum the other day, and I went, she was telling me something. I went, you may be a trained psychiatric nurse, mother, but you have got a lot to learn.
Yeah. You have got a lot to learn, my girl.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Will be heard.
Nobody can hear me.
Yes, so awful.
Do a lot, so we awful. Do There's a such lot great of, payoffs. You do brilliant. Oh, your New Year's Eve one.
Okay.
You're looking at your phone explaining why you didn't go out New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, could you, for our listeners, just tell that little story about how you ended up on your own on New Year's Eve? Do you mind just telling that to sign us off?
If you've listened to this podcast so far, it'll be no mystery that I spent New Year's Eve utterly alone. I'll tell you what happened. New Year's Eve, I was sitting at home and I didn't have any real plans. So don't laugh at that. That's the truth.
Oh, but we know what's good.
This podcast is cancelled. He says 3 seconds before the end. I was sitting at home and I thought, do you know what I'll do? I'll wait for the first person to text me and I'll just do whatever that is. I'll wait for the first person. It's sort of a serendipitous thing to do. Look at, I'm so whimsical. What a whimsical kind of guy. Imagine that. God, how French of me. I would just do whatever the first person text me to do. And then it got to about 8 p.m. and I thought, oh dear, well, that's decided it. Oh dearie me, so old Muggins here. So and that was when I just thought, what is the worst pub? I know, I went on Twitter, I said, please someone tell me the worst pub I can go to, because I'm going there on my own and I'm going to get drunk. Oh. And in fairness, a lot of people chipped in, encouraging my piece of shit night out. Yeah. And I did, I had a great night. So I went to, and someone, you know, a few people suggested some awful pubs and I went to the Isle of Dogs, and I'm not going to name the pubs, that's an awful thing to do. But they are pretty bad. And then I ended up back in Deptford, where I live, just outside my local, and bumped into the man who runs my local Indian restaurant, Tandoori Express, and had a pint with him. And then went home. I was in bed by sort of 11:30. It's cracking. And I, do you know what? And I'm absolutely mean this. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I've just remembered this. On the stroke of midnight, I was in a pub called, oh no, I'm not going to say it. Shall I say it?
Yeah.
I like the pub.
Yeah, you
if you ever go
time.
To it, it's called The Artful Dodger in Shadwell, which is a great, it's a proper old pub. And it got to about 11:45 and I, with the greatest respect to the customers in the Almond Dodger, I thought, I don't want to be here at midnight. So, so I left, and at stroke of midnight, and I didn't even realise, I was on the DLR, and I just looked at my watch, it was 5 past midnight, and there's like about 3 people on the train carriage, just like sitting there like that, and I thought, that's... Someone said to me, oh, it must have been nice seeing the fireworks outside. I said, no, because the only point of the DLR that actually goes under a tunnel is at midnight. Yeah, so I saw nothing. I saw absolutely nothing.
Done that if you try.
No.
That's beautiful.
Dream night out. Absolute dream, yeah.
I love it.
I enjoyed it. And the worst thing is, that's not the first time I've done that. I've actually done that quite a few years where I've gone out on my own. I just think it's good. I enjoy it. Like... Because you're not tied
building.
To one place, you can get. Yeah, it's not a test for my personality. I'm not doing it for that reason. Do you get over your depression with that? And it's just a thing about watching other people.
Yeah, observe.
I don't think New Year's Eve actually, to bring us sort of full circle, is a sort of a Sunday. It's an ending.
Yeah,
and it's a sort of. I've
never enjoyed
New Year's Eve.
I described it as that last on the last podcast. I was like, it's like New Year's Eve,
right?
And same. I get really melancholy on New Year's Eve.
I never go to like parties and things like that, but something quiet and low key is, I think, a good one. I went to The Grapes one time, which is a pub in Limehouse, owned by Sir Ian McKellen, who lives next door. And I was in there with, if you know, Diane Morgan.
Yeah.
It was just me and her. And working behind the bar was Ian and the actor Richard Wilson, who played Victor Meldrew in One Foot in the Grave. And he was so funny. Yeah, it's like ringing the bell going, okay, everyone, it's New Year's Eve. Darling, come here, come here.
Oh,
like, gave me a sort of hug on New Year's Eve. It was great.
Lush.
Yeah. So that was a good... That's a good
great
sort of,
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're normally quite
disappointing. So you can just dine out on that for years now.
Exactly.
Because you've had
that
as a New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You go, yeah,
and
okay,
in fact,
I don't need to...
It was the one good pub I actually went back to on this New Year's Eve, because I walked up... if you know that area, up through the Isle of Dogs.
I used
and ended
to live
up
around
in,
there.
Oh, did you? Whereabouts did you live?
Like near Parnham Way, kind of, next to the canal, you know, the canal.
Oh, okay.
Limehouse.
Oh, right,
know, the
right.
Block
oh,
of flats.
The marina, there. Like round there. Mm. Right, yeah, yeah. That's nice, yeah. So, so anyway, I had one drink in there and sort of, and it was too nice, and I thought, this is not why I've come out. it was actually a nice atmosphere, people talking to me. I thought, no. this won't do at all. Unless someone threatens to glass me, I shall be leaving and taking my business elsewhere.
Have to glass yourself.
Yeah. yeah. And start throwing a pint over my face. Yeah. You starting, mate? and then again, for the second time that evening, went, get out of my pub.
What a beautiful place to end.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Have a look
ever
at
so
my,
much for making
my
me cry with
Instagram
laughter.
Is at Mr. Alistair Green.
Oh yes, get on.
I cannot recommend
Alistair.
It enough. I can't recommend following Alistair on Twitter and Instagram enough. He's hilarious and will bring a lot of joy to your lives with his very funny videos and wonderful characters. And you might get some catchphrases out of it, like we have.
My friend texted me and she said she shows her one-year-old daughter those videos, and it's the only thing that keeps her quiet. So even with the swearing, she went, she didn't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And she just laughs at your rubbery face, which I took as a compliment.
Absolutely.
That's a low self-esteem.
hold the attention of a one-year-old.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's impressive, yeah. Comedy's comedy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alistair.
But Sunday always gets me down, so come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me.
We're like, Dave, you're really distracting. You're not welcome back here.